But if there were no learned rabbinical debates, the Muslims probably encountered a good deal of populist religious chauvinism in Medina. Ibn Ishaq tells us that when they came to the mosque, some of the Jews would laugh and scoff at the Quran. Many Jews were friendly, and Muhammad probably learned a great deal from them. But some of the people of the book had ideas that he found very strange indeed. The idea of an exclusive religion was alien to Muhammad. He hated sectarian quarrels and was offended by the idea of a chosen people, or the conviction that only Jews or Christians could get to paradise. He was also bewildered to learn that some Christians believed that God was a Trinity and that Jesus was the Son of Allah. But he remained convinced that these peculiar notions were the heretical deviations of a deluded minority. The Quran reminded Muslims that many of the people of the book were upright people who recite God's messages throughout the night and prostrate themselves before him. They believe in God and the last day and enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong and vie with one another in doing God's works, and these are among the righteous. Muslims must remember that every community had its own specially revealed religion, so they must not take part in these pointless squabbles. If the people of the book attacked their faith, Muslims must behave with hilm and courteously reply, "God knows best what you are doing." To avoid this sterile controversy, Muhammad, like the Hanifs, decided to return to the religion of Abraham, who was neither a Jew nor a Christian, because he had lived long before either the Torah or the Gospel. After the Hijra, the Quran started to apply the words Hanif and Hanifiya to the Muslims and Islam, but gave these words a new interpretation. For Muhammad, Hanifiya simply meant total submission to God. This had been the original, unadulterated message of the prophets before it had been corrupted by sectarian chauvinism. Abraham, for example, had not belonged to an exclusive cult. He had simply been a Muslim, one who surrendered himself, and a Hanif, a man of pure faith. When Abraham and Ishmael had rebuilt the Kaaba together, they had not developed an exclusive theology, but had simply wanted to give their lives entirely to Allah. "O our sustainer," they had prayed, "make us surrender ourselves unto thee, and show us our ways of worship." Muslims had been driven out of Mecca because of religious intolerance, so they must avoid all exclusivity. Instead of stridently insisting that they alone had the monopoly of truth, the true Muslims merely said, "Behold my prayer and all my acts of worship and my living and my dying are for God alone, the sustainer of all the worlds." It was idolatry to take pride in belonging to a particular religious tradition rather than concentrating upon Allah himself.